Welcome back. Welcome in to the Lion's Share podcast. We did it, Andrew. We did it, Joe. The Lions are kings of the North. What does that sound like to you, Andrew? First time in our lives, buddy. And I already lost you. This is a great start.
Oh, do I got you back?
Okay. Did you hear any of that?
I heard all of it. What I said in response was, sounds like a main character is about to die. So hopefully we're not following Game of Thrones logics on this one. But it feels new and it feels great. And it feels like it may be this way for years to come.
It does. It seems like we've got a turning of the tide going on here. It's hard to believe that this team last year, started out 1-6 and had the remarkable turnaround second half of last year. Nearly snuck their way into the playoffs, but had to fall to the fate of the Seahawks and the Rams game, unfortunately. But did everything they needed to do, minus the Panthers game. And, of course, the year prior, Dan's first year, they think they started out 0-8 is what I think I saw referenced today, and that's what I remember. And I think they finished 3-13-1. Who could forget the tie, infamous tie against the Steelers? But that's just how far this team has come. In just a couple years under the helm of Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes, 3-13-1 the first year. Now, last year was 9-8, and this year already at 11 wins, 11-4 right now with two games remaining, two big ones. You got the Cowboys and then the divisional matchup against the Vikings, which means a little less now that they've sealed off the North. But boy, does it feel good to be sitting in this position. And now it's just, you know, going to Dallas, try to win another one there, get a couple in a row, and then finish out your season against Minnesota, hopefully on a hot streak. Dallas comes off of it, two losses. That I don't love that. They're going to be back at home, but we'll talk more about that in the next episode. But yeah, it's just a rejoice period for Lions fans. You know, it's Christmas. Merry Christmas, by the way. Andrew and I'm working on Christmas. Hashtag no days off. And hopefully going to have a JMO burger for you content-wise here shortly for the clinching of the playoffs that the Lions have clinched now with the NFC North and possibly still an outside chance at the one seed. What do you think, Andrew? What do you think the chances are that these Lions sneak their way up to that number one seed in the NFC?
I think the chances are tough. But, you know, you got to still fight for it. The number one seed is the number one seed, a bye game and then a home game. That's what you're playing for. So you still got to go out there and give everything you got. But absolutely savor it. You heard Goff say it after the game, post game. That was their first goal of the season, was to win the North. And, you know, you heard Dan say it at the beginning of the season, too. Everybody's given us a lot of praise coming into the season, but we really haven't done anything. Now they can kind of start jawing a little bit. They've won the North. They're getting due respect now. They've gone out there. They've put film out there. They've clinched their division with two more weeks to play, and they've got a legitimate shot at the number one. It might be a little far out there, but it's a shot nonetheless.
Yeah, it's hard not to look back at some of the games that they lost and start thinking revisionist history and thinking, man, if they would have had one more win, because one more win they'd be sitting really good with a chance for the one seed. Unfortunately, right now, even if they win 2 of 2 here to close out the season, they don't have the tiebreaker over Philly or the 49ers. I don't believe. I know they definitely don't over the 49ers. I don't know where they stand with the Eagles, depending on what they do, but I think they don't have the tiebreaker over either one. So that's kind of the unfortunate part. But at 11 wins here, a chance to get to 13, I think that's, I don't know, Andrew, do you remember from our preseason show? I think we all picked around 11 or 12 wins on the season as our middle of the road. And then I think our top was, I think, 14 or 15. So they're not going to get there, but a potential for 13 wins is pretty remarkable. You know, we just talked about the year one for Dan just 2 years ago. They had 13 losses, and now we're talking about the possibility of 13 wins. So that's just how far this team's come. And as Andrew alluded to, focused team yesterday. They didn't play great, but they did hold. The big key from the box score for me is, man, that defense held the Vikings to just 17 points, and it's clear that Aaron Glenn was going to have Nick Mullins try to beat him in the air, and beat him they almost did. Nick Mullins threw four interceptions yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, nearly had five, I think, and yet the Vikings still had actually more yards than the Lions. Can you believe that? They had one more yard, not 390 to 389, pretty even in the yardage, but clear that that was the key for the defense, was to let Nick Mullens try to beat him through the air. And they did put up quite a few yards through the air, but how about that defense, who's been fairly strong against the run all year, but this is definitely their best performance in terms of yardage. And obviously Minnesota doesn't have Dalvin Cook anymore, shipped out to New York. So the run game isn't what it used to be in Minnesota, but still in the NFL to hold the team to just 17 yards rushing. I mean, you'll take that any day and twice on Sunday, right?
Oh, 1,000%. And, you know, we talk about it. It's a game of momentum, and Aaron Glenn wasn't going to let Nick Mullens gain any momentum. And, you know, he started to, he went on his runs, but at the same time, we've given Aaron Glenn a lot of hardships throughout the year. But to his credit, you know, as soon as Mullens kind of got in a rhythm, he would turn it up. But, you know, it was kind of rough all the way around. You talk about having to clean up some things. They really do have some things to clean up. They've got some things to clean up in the coaching department as well. A little fishy late timeout, I believe, in the first half. Late there. And it made it kind of scary. So going to have to go back, and you can get better all the way around as a team.
For sure. 9 penalties on the day. Minnesota had 8. The Lions had 9. That's a big key for me in this one. If we want to talk about the negatives, it was that for sure. And the fact that you let a backup quarterback kind of torch you there through the air at times, it was tough to watch. Like we said, did have 4 interceptions. And how about old Kirby Joseph, KJ, with 2 of them? And how about that celebration? What was he doing on that play where he intercepts that ball and then goes arms wide open? Shout out to Creed.
Yeah, you got everybody and their mother who knows what's going on there. And they know that's a live ball. And everybody, I think, can say in unison is, what is he doing? I think everybody screamed that probably at the exact same time, every Lions fan. That was kind of fishy. And we're going to have to get an injury update on him to see how he's doing, because, you know, he kind of laid a hard shot, but he took – seems to be the most of it. It looks like concussion-esque. So hopefully we're going to get some good news on him and get him healthy for the rest of the year in playoffs.
Yeah, it's a good point that you brought up that penalty he got for unnecessary roughness. He got kind of the worst of it. And then on the sidelines, you saw some of it. I don't know if you saw it, but he was working with one of the trainers on the athletic staff. And then I assume the independent neurologist, I would think, on the right there. But yeah, it was kind of a scary scene. Justin Jefferson, fine though. I mean, he had a hell of a day, and he popped right up from that hit like it was no big deal. And I don't know what TJ Hockenson had on the day, but I know he had several catches. You know, silly me, should really pull up the box score here. I mean, you'll take a win there on the road in Minnesota. Once again, the Blueberry Blues come out with a W. I was happy when Mitch told us in the group chat that they were wearing the blues. That made me feel pretty confident coming into it, right?
Oh yeah. I think I asked what was the uniform combo, because I hadn't gotten the Lady Lion confirmation. All I had gotten was Malcolm Rodriguez walking in his velvet green suit and Santa hat. So the uniform check, when we got the blueberry emoji, it was over.
Hold up. Lady Lion is locked in on Malcolm, right? So is that where you got that picture from? Is that what you're telling me?
Absolutely. I believe the notifications are turned on.
Oh boy. You might have to start asking the tough questions.
Well, the tough questions are I got nothing to worry about, okay? We watched the first half of this game while playing some bingo at the old Soaring Eagle. Your boy cashed in with a quick solo win bingo. $125, so I got nothing to worry about.
How about that? A victory royale on Christmas Eve itself. How much? I mean, if you don't want to share with the shareholders, but, you know, how much money are we talking about here if you want to share?
Oh, I thought I said $125.
Oh, maybe you did. That's probably on me. I'm going to look dumb here when this comes out live. Yeah, that's on me. Yeah, $125. Are you going to do anything with that money? Are we reinvesting that into more bingo or into the podcast?
That might be a little New Year's Eve walking around, a little, hey, how you doing on the town?
Okay. Yep. I like that. New Year's Eve, a popular one. Always expensive. Everything's got a cover, and everything, you know, dinner wise is at least 50 a plate, I want to say. So for yeah, sure.
It'll probably cover the tip somewhere.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. So how about this stat for you here? We talk about it always. Time of possession is a key. Lions time of possession, 38-22 to 21-38. That's what you need to do. Talked about it. The Vikings did actually have one more yard, 390 to 389, and certainly had more in the passing, 373, almost a 400 yard day for the Vikings. And then passing, the Lions only had 246, but it was just kind of a standard day for Goff. 30 of 40, didn't have a great QBR, QB rating, to say the least, but did what he needed to do, and he was turnover free. So that was huge. Obviously, the one fumble for the Lions was from Gibbs on a pretty nice run. It was unfortunate and bad timing in the game, but nevertheless, the Lions certainly won the turnover battle. And so speaking of the day that Gibbs had, I mean, he had only 80 yards rushing. He had a few more through the air. Did he? No, I don't think he even had a – oh, no, he did. Yeah, so he had even 100 through all scrimmage. All-purpose, 80 on the ground, 20 through the air. And I told you this off-air, Andrew, but can you believe that the nerve of the NFL to hit him with a drug test on Christmas Eve, no less?
Hey, man, when you're putting on moves like that and you're putting guy in, he might be in a literal wheelchair. He broke both of those ankles. He looked like he went paralyzed on his way to the ground. When you're putting moves on people like that, yeah, I can see the reason for the drug test. And let me tell you, what I cannot believe is that you don't have a nickname for Gibbs yet.
Yeah, that's a good point. Got a lot of nicknames that I've coined in my day. I might have to workshop that one. Let's see. Jameer, JG, Jameer, Jameer. Gamer Gibbs.
First game Gibbs.
Gibby some more now. That's ooh, not great.
I think you're on to someone though.
That's how it works happens. Out. You know, you just kind of chip away at it and they eventually come to you. Yeah, I'm going to have to think about that one. Jameer Gibbs, shareholders, if you have any ideas there, be sure to send them our way so that we can get it first before somebody else does. I don't know if I've seen any online either. I don't think I've seen any from the online community.
Yeah, and from you no less, you're normally locked and loaded in this department. So I expect an A game, and shareholders do as he says.
I mean, Gibble, like Gibble Gobble, I don't know. That's only kind of works on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll think about that one. I do my best work when it's quiet, you know, in the shadows.
Fair enough. That's a little toilet time.
Yeah, oh, of course. Anything else from this game as far as, like, anything that stood out to you? I know you said you watched it at the Bingo Hall, so it's a little bit tougher. I was at the green spot without game sound, so I didn't have myself locked in as much as I would normally. What kind of reaction did they have there at the hall? Were other people watching the game as well?
I saw one Lions Christmas jersey, but I had it on my phone. You know, all the other ones were the bingo board. So, unfortunately, they weren't playing it from the crowd. I also didn't have volume in there. You can't imagine the looks I would have had if it would have been full blast. I can say Mitchell had the audio, though. He said Vilma pretty one-sided on the call. He was, that's how I took it, at least. He was seemed pretty aggressive on his stance.
Yeah, we may need him to call in and shed some light on that because I also didn't have the audio, so I can't speak on that, but I don't usually – Vilma's not one of my top guys, but he's not on the low end either. He's kind of in the middle of the ground, so that's unfortunate to hear. I don't know. Mitch might have to shed some light on that.
Let me say this because we're probably going to move on from this one, but, like, lastly, King of the North – as a city, finally here, maybe we can all stop shooting ourselves with that stat. But if we're going to talk about biased announcers, we're pretty fresh away from the Chiefs-Raiders game here. And Nance and Romo, going hard for this Kansas City team. And Ben, I think you wanted to say it, so just give a, you want to shed.
Oh, I think I lost you there for a minute. I'll let you get back in here. But I think what you were going to say was, I think regarding the Chiefs and my statement earlier, which was, are the Kansas City Chiefs threatening to miss the playoffs at this point? 9-6 after the loss to the Raiders and two games remaining. You've got to play the Chargers last. And then I think next week they play, who do the Chiefs play next week? It's, I don't know if it's another division. No, because it's not the Raiders again. They're done with the Raiders. Let's see. This is great. This is great television. They've got the Bengals next week.
Ooh.
And the Bengals, it's like, it's hard to say what the Bengals really are. And it's in Kansas City, which we thought meant something, but clearly after today, that doesn't mean anything in this season. But you're right about the Chiefs, man, and the announcers. I know everybody's always enamored by Mahomes, and rightfully so. He does some remarkable things. I'm just going to go back to it, though. They miss Eric Bieniemy. Matt Nagy's going to lose his job. I got to believe it. I know they don't have wide receivers, and they lost Pacheco down the stretch today. They lost one of their right guards. But to your point, back all that to say, to your point about Nance and Romo, they kept saying it on air. They're like, man, just can't give the ball back to Mahomes if you're the Raiders. And it's like, like in years past, I think you're right. But this season's proved that that's not the case. I mean, the Chiefs had like negative 28 yards passing in the first quarter, I think, which is insane to even state. And they did finish the game with over 200 passing, but it's not the same Chiefs. And people got to stop picking them, including myself included. I don't know why I put so much faith in the Chiefs on Christmas. And I did say in the notes in the last episode, I said it's asinine that the Chiefs were favored by 10 in this game. That was just incredible. Then you know the Raiders were going to play them tough. I didn't think the Raiders would necessarily win, but to give them 10 points, that's pretty crazy.
Agreed. 10 points is a lot, and I mean, we just have to realize that, yeah, you're right, and these are not the same Chiefs, and they're not a lock week to week, you know, no matter who they are. And if the boos in Arrowhead tell you anything, the Chiefs are definitely not a lock at home.
Yeah, and when we say boos, we're not talking Taylor Swift. We're talking boo from the fans. They are unhappy, and they should be unhappy. This is not the same team from last year that won a Super Bowl. It's not even remotely close. 9-6 now in an AFC that is very contentious, and I don't have the paths in front of me, but, you know, everyone was thinking the Chiefs were a lock, and they probably still have a hold on that division just because the Chargers are done. The Chargers are eliminated. The Raiders are done. I mean, the Raiders get a win here. They're 7-8. I don't think
they got to win out.
They got to win out, and I don't know how that tiebreaker works because the Chiefs and the Raiders split. The Chiefs won against the Raiders in Vegas earlier this year, so I don't know how that falls.
I think they said the Raiders win out and the Chiefs lose out, and that's the only way.
Okay, so they're going to win that division, you know, because who else is in that division? The Chiefs, the Chargers, the Raiders, and then the Broncos, who stunk it up on Christmas Eve against the Patriots. So maybe it's natural that we just go to that game next because we all had the Broncos. And now it's like, all right, the Broncos started off really cold. And then they had a couple wins in a row there. Everybody started getting on their side. And then they lose to the Lions and they lose now to the Patriots, which is unfortunate because that makes the Lions win look a little worse now.
Yeah, but the best thing to come out of this game, and it's going to be on national news, is they do have an audible called Dan Campbell, and it's we do get reported it is a running back draw play.
Running back draw play, coaches out there on defense, if you hear that, you know what that is. Linebackers, the mic's going to start calling that out for sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to chronological order here. We'll update records on Wednesday, but as it stands right now, with two games remaining here in the middle of Christmas Day, I'm 9-5. Mitch is 8-6, and you're 8-6, Andrew. I had a fairly quick start. I was out 9-3, and I actually put together a 12-game parlay here. And now that I can gamble legally in Michigan, and the stinky Colts ruined it for me, and sort of the Broncos.
Those dirty birds.
How do they lose to Matt Smith, man?
Hey, man, I've been with you. I'm with you guys, and I can't bring myself to pick them. So it's just a crying shame, to be honest with you.
Did you see much of the Bills Chargers on Peacock?
I did not see a ton of it. Saw what I needed to see. Laughed at the final score that they still, without Brandon Staley, managed to lose by 2 points.
Yep, right on schedule for the Chargers. But they did almost come back in this one. I think the Bills were up two or three scores late in the fourth quarter, and the Chargers were just trying to field goal the Bills to death. I think they had a touchdown in the first half, and then they had like four straight field goals, or five maybe. It was just one after another. They couldn't find the end zone, but they could find the that side of the field to get field goals. And I just kept seeing the score update, and it just constantly was getting closer and closer. And I'm like, what are you doing, Bills? You can't lose this game. You know that, right?
Yes. And they did it. They're still here. They've still got a chance, but it's still an uphill battle for the Bills.
It is still uphill. And here's a game that kind of changes their battle, too. And that's the Bengals lose, the Steelers win. Can't believe you and Mitch went against Rudolph on Christmas.
Crazy. Dude, yeah, remind me, write that in, pencil it down. If that guy gets scheduled for a Christmas Day game again, put the mortgage on it. Shame on me. The Steelers came out hot. I'm glad, and everybody should know, nobody cares. Started Deontay Johnson, benched George Pickens. So do the math, did not play out well.
Well, you would think if you watched games all year, like Pickens, we talked about it, the lack of effort, and Steelers just look so bad. And then what do? They come out really hot, and they never look back. So a weird one. That's just kind of the NFL, though, and I felt like this one had weird all over it, especially without DJ Reader on that defense for the Bengals and no Jamar Chase. So felt pretty confident in taking the Steelers. Thursday night, rolling right along in a weird little order here, in a weird episode where we're, you know, clearly not at our same setups here with the audio quality. Rams get it done against the Saints on Thursday night. No surprise there. Another game where they came out with a big lead and nearly lost it at the end. Saints, I should say, almost came back in that one. Not much more to say other than the Rams continue their march towards the playoffs. Still need a couple, at least one more win, the Rams do.
Yep, that's I think the best thing we learned from that is that Derek Carr may finally be done. You know, I forget what his contract is, but he's, you know, nearing the end of his career, and Dennis Allen may be nearing the end of his time in New Orleans.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know anything about this game, Packers-Panthers. I know this one was way closer than I thought it was going to be. The Panthers almost snuck this one out at home. I was really hoping the Panthers would just knock the Packers out completely. But the Packers lived to see another day. Still got a win out to make the playoffs, though.
Yeah, way closer. The Packers are lucky to get away with this. The bigger news from this game is that Carolina Panthers owner David Tepper alleged to be on the old Epstein Island list. So stay tuned. They're trying to oust him in ownership.
Is that breaking news?
I don't know about breaking, a couple days old. So we'll see where it comes out. Release the list, government.
I think it's coming. I think there's a court order for it. Let's see. I'm going to skip over some games. Browns beat the Texans. Jets beat the Commanders. Who cares? Who cares? Texans fans would care because they kind of needed that for their playoff hopes, but they are still technically alive. Seahawks-Titans, another one that was closer than I thought it was going to be. Seahawks get the win. Seahawks look like they're going to try to get that 7 seed in the NFC. They have two more games, obviously, and two winnable matchups. But this one was kind of close, right, I think?
Yeah, all the more reason to want to get the 1 seed and just avoid the Seahawks at all costs. It's like – it's the main team I really don't want to see first round of the playoffs. I'd rather take the Rams hands
down. Wow, that's a shocking statement to hear. I know the struggles that the Lions have had against the Seahawks, but I think in the camp of team not wanting to play the Rams. I think most people are that camp.
Bring on the Rams, I won.
Okay, bring on the Crams. Buccaneers beat the Jaguars. Is that correct? Yes, that's correct. Trevor Lawrence did play, I think, right? But didn't quite give him the bump, and so that helps the Texans. If you're the Texans, that you needed the Jags to lose if you lose. So I think that keeps that division still up in the air, right?
Absolutely, and Baker may have found himself a home and another contract extension, and good for him. He said he wants to stay in Tampa Bay a long time, and I think they're going to be glad to have him, honestly, from what he's put up for him this year. And now the Jags are just trending dumb ball. That's all I can say. They're bad right now, and Trevor Lawrence may be injured more than we think.
Same old Jags that people are saying. But yeah, I think you're right about Baker. I think he's got a home there and, probably finishes out his career there. And then they go to the draft and try to build around him because they've got a lot of picks and they've got some capital to work with there, do the Bucks. At a point where they kind of thought they might be in a rebuild mode after Brady leaves. They are looking okay in the NFC South, which is so bad, but looks like they'll probably be prevailing in that division. Bears, Cardinals, who cares? The Bears won. Dolphins, Cowboys, that was a good one. Dolphins win it on a field goal late and touched on it in the Lions segment. The Cowboys now lose two straight on the road.
Going to be
first
three.
In Buffalo, now in Miami.
About to be three.
I don't know. I think we'll have to save that for Wednesday. I don't feel great about the Cowboys matchup at home. Just because it's at home.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight.
Hey. But it is, you're right. I mean, shout out to, what was that? Is that Phil Collins?
Sure.
Yeah, I think it's Phil Collins. But I think you're right. This is the time of year where the Cowboys start to slip. It's December always. So maybe, just maybe, three straight losses for the Cowboys here with the Lions. And the Lions can get over that hump of not winning in Dallas, and I don't know how long, probably longer than the last time they won the division, to be honest. That's going to be the streak that everybody talks about, storyline into next week.
Just another record to break, Dan Campbell going back to Dallas, take him out.
Yep, that's true. Actually, yeah, good point. Dallas, his old team as the tight end. Yep. Patriots-Broncos, talked about that one. Patriots winners over the Broncos, trying to maybe win one there for Bill. And then Raiders-Chiefs, that's the one we just finished on CBS/Nickelodeon. It was pretty childish and comical.
Oh, I didn't see it.
I didn't watch it either. I didn't have the nerve to change it to Nickelodeon today.
I'm going to be honest with you, I kind of forgot. I saw that I found the channel it was on, and I just, put the remote down from there.
Yep, it was one of those days. It was a sit back and relax day. Pretty nice here in Michigan. Actually 53 degrees. Not bad for Christmas Day. I can't remember a Christmas Day that warm. I mean,
come on home more often.
Last year, if you remember how cold it was last year.
Yeah, you bring the weather with you, you come home more often.
Yeah, it's actually only about 5 degrees, maybe 10 degrees warmer in Texas right now. It's the discrepancy is not usually that wide or that narrow. Speaking of temperatures, I was surprised to see some guys with their shirts off in Kansas City. Actually, no, I wasn't. But Kansas City, much further south than Michigan, of course. And it was 35 degrees in that game and a 25 degree wind chill. So vastly different than we have up here in the Midwest.
Yeah, those guys got some tough nipples. That's all I can say.
Could probably cut glass, cut an ornament or two, too, I might add. Yeah, Christmas tie-ins. I'm upset I haven't had more. But, just not on my best game today, I guess. Hashtag holidays. And then we've got Giants-Eagles about to kick off right meow. Eagles big favorites in that one, but I think that one could be closer than we think. And then we've got a little Super Bowl matchup. Pretty much we've got the Super Bowl tonight here on ABC. Ravens at 49ers. Obviously, if you're the Lions, you want to see the 49ers lose that one. Similarly, you'd want to see the Eagles lose to the Giants, but I think the more likely one would be the Ravens over the 49ers, but I'm going to be tuned in to that one for sure.
As a Lions fan for the rest of the evening, you automatically become G-Men fans, right, followed by Ravens. I mean, even though they trounced us this year, you become fans again.
Yep, that's how it works in the NFL. It's a little bit of musical chairs for you fans out there. That's kind of how it goes.
Wearing a lot of hats tonight.
wearing many hats. Speaking of which, I know you're a big hat guy. Any hats for the holidays for you in the stockings or in the presents under the tree?
Oh, you know it. Well, since we just put the beat down on Russ Wilson and Sean Payton did the same, we got the old trucker style Broncos, pretty nice, a little badge like on the top, looks pretty good. Ooh. Followed up by a little old school Bills, little tan, little blue.
Okay, okay. Do they always get you hats of the teams that the Lions just beat? Is that kind of like a Heineke situation?
I think that might just be a luck of the draw this time.
Okay, all right. Well, who could forget Heineke would get the color cleats of the team he just beat? That was a pretty cool tradition.
Yeah, Ben, how about you hit us? What was your Christmas gift this year?
Ooh, well, see, you know, we don't have a big holiday celebration here at the family Christmas. We mostly get gifts for the kids, not for us.
But you're going to say kisses.
Nope, I'm just struggling here on the couch to try to make words. But yeah, no, nothing big. Played a couple games at Christmas, including one you might have seen on TikTok where you bounce the ball into the muffin containers, similar to like a beer pong style thing. And then each corresponding, whatever you want to call it, muffin hole. That's not the word for sure. The implant, I don't know what you'd call it, but it had a number in it, and that corresponded with a cup, which you lifted up and you got a prize, which could be anything from socks, candy, lottery tickets. We didn't have any big lottery ticket winners. I did get a $2 winner, though.
Wow. So quality time. Some would say the best gift.
Yes. And a couple board games in there as well called Pun Intended and How Well Do You Know Your Family, which was pretty funny.
That sounds like a very classic holiday.
Yeah, and then in the stocking from Santa, you know, some candy, some socks, more lottery tickets. And I think that's about it. But you know, it's all about the family time. And got a few gifts for the family, and they were all received well. So can't complain.
Yeah, Ben, I was teeing you up. I just wanted you to know I was teeing you up for the best gift of all, and that's a playoff. Oh. The playoff berth for the Kings of the North.
Yeah, Tommy's not here for this episode, but Tommy, can we cut that and then pick it up here? You know, Andrew, my favorite gift was the Lions winning the North.
Oh, man, mine too.
Wow. Yes, I think you're we're singing the same tune as every Lions fan out there right now. What were the reactions from some of your family members as far as the day that we thought may never come?
I mean, I think it was a lot of saw that coming, well deserved. Glad we got it done this week and not week 18. And I think everybody was just happy that it happened in Minnesota.
Yeah, that makes it oh so sweeter. A couple Lions, let's go Lions chants, as well as a couple reverse skulls from the fans and the players alike, which is awesome.
Yes, I mean, as always, the Lions faithfuls travel well.
Yes, they do. Even on Christmas Eve, it was just great to see. You know, not the perfect game. You know, didn't have everything clicking out there, but it worked. And so now it's on to week 17, 2 weeks remaining. You're sitting pretty good, winners of the North, and you've got the Cowboys here in Dallas, and then you finish out the season at home against Minnesota, and then hopefully have yourself a home playoff game or maybe even a bye. So that's where we're standing. We'll be back on Wednesday. We'll maybe bring on the college football experts and maybe have Mitch back on an airwave near you.
Yeah, hopefully we get to hear from him. And, you know, the next step we got is Let's Go Blue.
Let's Go Blue, yeah. We got Michigan taking on Alabama in the Rose Bowl. Talk about that on Wednesday as well. Got the college football playoff about to take center stage there on New Year's Eve day. So it's going to be a wild weekend of football. Next weekend we've got Saturday football again. The Lions will be on Saturday again. And Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, football, I believe.
Maybe we can hear from the college football expert, get a little playoff preview.
Yeah, because, you know, that's not our forte. So we're very much casual fans. We'll be locked into those college football games, but not as much as they are. So we always appreciate their insight. And we appreciate you, shareholders, on this Merry, Merry Christmas. Hope you had a great one with the family. From Andrew and I, you know, and Mitch, wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, all that good stuff. And let's go Lions, winners of the North. It's great to say that. It's the first time since 1993.
Welcome to January football. Meow.
Okay, Lions fans, here we are. A little disappointing ending to the half there. It was looking so promising. Dan calls that timeout, stops the clock for the Vikings. I like what he was doing. The defense was flying on all cylinders. He was trying to get the ball back for his offense to put some points up before the half. But if the end of that showed anything, it gave that momentum switch back over to the Vikings. They're going to get the ball to start the Vikings, that is. So defense, you're going to have to come up big again, and you're going to need to knock the wind out of them. Stop that momentum from building any further. Don't let Mullins get any more confidence. That's really it. It's going to be a knockdown, drag-out game here. There's going to be points. There's going to be a lot. There's going to be maybe not a lot, but plenty of scoring. But it's going to be tough all the way. Vikings not lying over and letting the North being taken in their home turf today. Lions, you're going to have to bring everything you got in the second half to secure the North. Let's go, Lions.
All right, here we are at the local watering hole. Halftime. Lions in the all blues. The blueberries usually look a little bit better in the blueberries than they do right now. A little closer than I would have thought. 17-14 here. Felt like the pressure on Mullins was getting to him, and then that last drive happened. That kind of sucks. That's what Andrew's point is, and that is a big point for me as well. I don't like that the Vikings have got some momentum here and now get the ball out of the half. Going to be huge. Defense, we need to stop getting pressure on Mullins. They only have 8 yards rushing, the Vikings do. So they're stopping the run, but the pass game has been wide open. Justin Jefferson getting hot. Don't like that. Don't want to see any more gritties out of JJ. The Lions on offense have looked decent enough. They put up 17 points. Not finishing drives, not getting points off turnovers exactly, so got to improve on that. They've got 2 turnovers on Mullins. They could have 3 or 4 by the end of this game. And 1 turnover for the Lions on offense. Got to clean that up and clean up the penalties. Look, I think we're in an okay spot right now on the road, up 3 at half. I'll take that. Second half, you got to show me something here. Third quarter has been notoriously bad. Need to stop out of the half. Show me something, defense here. And offense, let's get 2 more touchdowns. Run the ball. You're running the ball well. It's coming easily. 2 or 3 more touchdowns. You win this game. You leave Minnesota, Kings of the North. LGL.